We'd like to have our young people share in worship and in scripture reading. And I feel really loud this morning. Is it louder than usual? Feel the power. I don't get to experience that often with my voice. So, Dustin already mentioned our trail walk this coming Saturday. Details are on here. Please join us. Details are on here. Any questions, let us know. We would love to have you with us. It's going to be so much fun. And it looks like the weather's going to be okay. Can you believe this for October 5th in the 80s? I also want to mention, we do have a unique program that meets once a month. This is the Blue Fire in your bulletin. And for families who have children in school with different needs, special needs, this is a tremendous opportunity to meet with some people who really know what they're talking about to help you through helping your children through school with special needs. And please, if you know of other parents that might benefit from this program, there's extra flyers in the lobby, and you can take them and then use these to invite people, okay? It's very important, and we appreciate your help spreading information. Today is October 5th. Next Sunday is October 12th. And the Sunday after that is October 19th. So it's been a while since we've done this, but October 19th is what we call Question and Answer Sunday. This is a great opportunity to invite people who may not want to come and listen to a sermon because there won't be one. On this Sunday, instead of a sermon, we will give you a number that you can text, an email that you can email, or an index card that you can write your question on. And if you use the index card, when you write a question, just raise your hand. One of the ushers will come, take your questions, and we pastors will sit up here on the stage and we will answer your questions, if we have an answer. Sometimes people ask a question and we're like, we'll have to get back to you on that one. But we will. So you can pose your questions anonymously. If you send an email or a text, obviously it'll be a little more noticeable, but when we read the questions up here, we do not use any names of who asked a question. So you can pose your questions about Christ, about the Bible, about Christianity, about our church, anything related, and we will do our best to answer them. It is challenging to invite people to church. I understand that. Many times people say no. But we encourage you to invite your friends, because not only is there the trail walk, not only is there question and answer Sunday, before long we have our annual chili and soup cook-off, the first Sunday of November. There will be bacon involved. And then shortly after that, we have our annual talent show, where people just display their pet talent on a Sunday evening. And we have everything from music to jokes to all kinds of stuff, clean jokes. And these are things that are very natural to invite friends, family, coworkers to come to. So please help us not only share about Northwest, but more importantly, help us to share about Christ. So, That advertisement is over, and now we move into this morning's sermon. In a few moments, we'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 6. Oh, there we are. Okay. Okay, just so you can be turning there. Someone has said, I used to be an expert on parenting. Then I had children. Parenting is one of the most rewarding roles a person can play in life. And I have to insert here, because we have another grandma visiting today, grandparenting is awesome. Okay. Parenting is one of the most rewarding roles a person can play in life. But it's also one of the most frustrating roles a person can play in life. So today we continue our series of sermons through the part of the Bible that we call Proverbs. Remember that in the Bible, a proverb is usually a general observation on life and how life happens, or a general principle that we should apply to our lives. And sometimes a proverb is both. So today, we're looking at various proverbs concerning parenting. Now, there are literally hundreds of passages throughout the Bible that guide us to be better parents. So for those of you who are not parents, you don't have to listen to this sermon. I'm just kidding. Actually, these principles about parenting apply to all believers who have children somewhere in the circle of their lives. You are here. There are children here. So even if you are not a parent, listen to these principles and see which ones you can apply to help our children at Northwest to grow in their faith. Our kids are watching, all of us. And even if you're not a child's parent, if you quit following Jesus or you are not living faithfully for Him, just by virtue of being a part of this church, you may well help lead a kid down the wrong road. But if you follow Jesus faithfully and never quit following Jesus, you may be the exact influence a kid needs to keep going for Jesus. Just know that if you're not a parent, it's not your job to be the parent. So leave the stuff for parents to parents. Okay? But still, look for how you can help disciple our kids at Northwest to follow Jesus. So let's read Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the correctness of disciplines are the way to life. Now, these verses are assuming that you are obeying the commands in our scripture reading earlier from Deuteronomy 6. A child cannot keep a command that has not been given or explained to them. So parents, it is up to you to give instructions to your children. And yes, it is for both parents to work together to instruct and teach their children. And children, teens, youths, you are to take that instruction seriously. And when that instruction is based on the truth of God's word, it'll help guide you through life and position you better for a better quality of life, generally speaking. Remember that Proverbs are general principles and general observations. Generally speaking, if you impart godly wisdom to your children, it will improve their quality of life. And it will please God. That's sort of the main thing here. That doesn't mean that bad things will not happen to them. It does mean if you're giving them biblical wisdom and they are living biblical wisdom, it does mean that the bad things that may happen to them are not a result of their own sin. If I could just pause here. Sometimes problems that I have faced in life are consequences of previous sins that I've committed. I did it to myself. So verse 23 reminds me of Psalm 119, 105, where the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Verse 23, we just read, "For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light." So, by the way, what this is saying is you want to be able to see where you're walking through life and not stumble, not commit sin, not make mistakes. Follow God's word. It is a light to your path. It will help you navigate through the complexities of life. It does. It will. The second part of verse 23 says, "And the corrections of discipline are the way to life." Following biblical principles pleases God. Ignoring them displeases God. That's true for parents too. So now I'm going to give you a few proverbs and other passages that guide us in parenting. There are so many verses that help us, give us wisdom on parenting. We will not have time to cover all of them. The wisdom in Proverbs addresses the totality of your child's life. If you read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, all the way through chapter 9, verse 18, and throughout the rest of the book, Proverbs is full of advice to the child of the writer. Okay. When King Solomon wrote most of Proverbs, he was writing it to his son. Gave him tremendous biblical wisdom. And now we have that to help us raise our children. So, top of page 8, this is for our translator. For example, Proverbs 1, 8, all the way through chapter 9, verse 18, contains warnings related to foolishness, integrity, securing debt, sloth or laziness, hanging out with the wrong people, sowing discord. By the way, another way to say that is starting arguments. Adultery. Poor use of finances. And et cetera, on and on. So if I don't address a specific issue that you are facing as a parent, give me a call or one of the other pastors a call through the week. And together, we can find biblical principles that will guide you. Now, the idea of teaching, guiding, and yes, discipline is woven throughout Proverbs. Proverbs 22, verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 29:15, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. And verse 17, discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Okay, keep following with me here. We're headed somewhere. Listen close. Lamentations 3:27 says, it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. The principle in this verse is that it is good for children to have age-appropriate responsibilities early in life. If you do not give your young children, simple chores and responsibilities when they're young, then you will have a very difficult time getting them to accept responsibilities when they're older. Our culture today has an increasing difficulty accepting the concept of discipline for children. Let's be clear. Discipline can take a variety of forms. Usually when people hear the word discipline, they immediately think of spanking. But the idea of discipline is to correct and lead a child in a better direction. There are indeed times when punishment is to be used. Punishment should be reserved for willful acts of rebellion and disobedience, not for mistakes or accidents like spilling milk. The Hebrew word, most often translated as discipline in the Old Testament, has a rather wide range of meaning and usage. On one end of that range is the idea of teaching and instruction. A middle of range meaning is exhortation, or what we would think of as a warning. Be careful, watch out. And at the other end of that continuum is discipline, or what we might call punishment. Discipline, as it's used in the Bible, is usually, typo Elsa, Discipline is usually not as strong a word as punishment. And the more effective, oh my goodness, what I'm about to tell you, if you have young children, and I know some of you will say, mine are older, it's already too late. Don't worry. I'll address that a little later, okay? But for those of you that have young children, please listen very close to what I'm saying. The more effective you are in training and instructing, especially when they're small, you will end up having to punish less. Part of the problem is that often parents do not discipline themselves to spend quality time instructing and guiding their children. Then when the child has pushed their patience, they overreact. The strength of discipline should be appropriate for the offense. No overkill here. Overkill will only lessen the effectiveness. Do you hear me? When you overreact to whatever it is your child is doing, you might think, I'm showing them. And to be honest, all you're doing is decreasing your effectiveness as a parent. And spanking or any punishment, timeout, whatever, without a calm explanation of the offense, emphasis on the word calm, explanation of the offense and the remedy, is not only worthless, you're possibly making it worse. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, this applies to mothers too, parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up, lift them up, raise them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers or parents, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. If you are constantly overbearing, controlling, domineering, and I would add, overreacting, never cutting them any slack, never showing any grace or understanding, you will frustrate your children. And they will begin to think they'll never be able to please you. And by the way, when that pattern develops, they often quit trying to please you. And then that frustrates you even more, right? See, it's like a downward spiral. Sorry, Elsa. In all honesty, parents, you need to put down your cell phone. You need to turn off your favorite TV show. You need to be willing to give up your favorite thing to do or hobby or whatever to spend quality time investing, lovingly instructing, guiding, explaining. When our kids were younger, elementary age, high school, when we were driving to and from school or wherever, I like to point out things that are on billboards, things that are happening, and explain from a biblical perspective. Here's how we react to this. Here's how we respond. Here's how we live as Christians. Back to my notes also. They will begin to think, you're frustrating your children, they will begin to think they will never be able to please you. And it's possible when they grow up, they may transfer that to their relationship with God. You understand? They've grown up thinking, I can't please this authority figure. How am I going to please God? And they may think that they can never please Him. And this is truer the older they get. Christian author Bruce Waltke says, loving parents seek to correct the faults of their children because their children's lives, favor, protection, healing, dignity, and prosperity are at stake. Unloving parents turn their backs on them and turn them over to death, to social ruin, public exposure, calamity, and shameful poverty. See, the goal in discipline is not to force a child to pay a price, but to help him or her understand the seriousness of sin, the importance of gaining wisdom and being obedient. Proverbs 13:24 does say, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And let me pause here again. Get the idea of a rod as you with a crowbar beating your kid. Get that out of your mind. It's not what this is talking about. Okay? It's the idea of being intentional in how you instruct and raise your child to prevent bigger problems down the road. Do you know that when you discipline your children with biblical wisdom, you're imitating God? The book of Hebrews tells us that the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son or as a child. When we stray, he gets our attention. So I just want to give a couple of related thoughts. Don't overlook the resources of people that we have here at Northwest. Okay? For babies and toddlers, I'm not sure I know anyone that loves them and understands them better than Allison Lewis. She's like a magnet to babies and toddlers. She's just naturally attracted to them and loves them and understands them. You want some ideas on how to teach your toddler, and yes, your baby, about Jesus? You talk to Allison. It's okay. She would love that. She would love to help you. She would have great advice on how to disciple toddlers and preschoolers. And Christine, Pam, Susanna, Sylvia, the list goes on. I could name every parent in here. We have immense wisdom in this room with experience in parenting along with biblical wisdom. You guys need to go to each other. And by the way, we grandparents, we don't mind giving a little advice if asked to, just so you know. We have been around the block. And we also have, top of page 16, Elsa, we also have Rose, Dustin and Sarah, and others, Dunia and others, who have real life experience raising some very special children. So ask for advice. We have tremendous resources here at Northwest. And, you know, we do have God and His Word. I said earlier, following biblical principles pleases God. Ignoring them displeases God. And that is true for parents too. One of the things that can derail your kids the fastest is a parent who does not live what they teach. There is huge value and benefit in the power of example. You as a parent must be living what you're trying to teach your children. Now, what if you say, it's too late, I've messed up, I've failed as a parent, my kids are grown, I can't go back and redo it. You do what all Christians do. You do the best you can from here on out. That's what we all do. You do the right thing as best you can. So all of us parents in this room, I'll go ahead and speak on your behalf, okay, parents? All of us will admit I've made some serious mistakes as a parent. I have. All four of my kids are adults. I've not only apologized, I have repented to all four of them. God, if I could go back. But we can't. So we do the best we can with what we have from here on out. And even beyond that as parents is the fact that we've all messed up, all of you, even if you're not a parent. We have all sinned. We all need a Savior. As the worship team comes up to lead us, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. I'll read it slowly, and please listen closely. And before I read it, just let me say, we've just read a bunch of God's Word, right? We've read quite a few verses. So this is Jesus speaking. At the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Listen to this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, The streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Biblical principles are effective to some degree in anyone's life, believer or unbeliever. For those who are committed to Christ, you can apply these principles. And it'll help some in the short term. But at the end of life, they will not rescue you. Living out biblical principles does not cancel out your sin. Only Jesus can do that. Without Jesus, you're not building on the rock. You're building on the sand. And eventually your life will crash. But if you start with Jesus instead of self-improvement, then you have the Holy Spirit within you, guiding you, helping you to understand these principles. And then these principles will help even more. But even more importantly, when you commit your life to Christ, following Him instead of yourself, trusting your eternal destiny to Him, then you're building on the rock of salvation, the rock of truth, Jesus Christ. If you aren't following Him all out, please do so today. Let's pray. Father, may your word have its effect in our lives that you desire for us. Help us to listen to it. Help us to learn from it. Help us to live it. Most importantly, help us to trust in you, to believe in you, to follow you, and to apply these principles to our life. Father, we recognize our need for you. We pray all this in Christ's name.